That is the theme song for Stranger Things. This is You've Been Challenged with Craig Collins.
And Rachel Woodall.
Thank you so much for joining us. We have a special guest this week. I'm very excited for the guest we have in studio. Kristen, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
I am Kristen Decker. I'm a producer for Kathy and Judy. I also produce the Mincing Rascals podcast here on WGN Plus and work on the Thomas Jefferson's America podcast that John Williams does with TJ.
And wait, that's not really Thomas Jefferson?
You know, use your imagination.
No, it is. It so is.
It's so Thomas Jefferson.
Kristen, that sort of shorts your resume, though, here at WGN Radio, because you have a very long resume and very amazing resume for how young you are. You've been at the radio station for a while. Talk about everything else that you've done here.
So I've been at WGN for 8 years. I started off as an intern and then part-time and worked on a various different shows, weekend shows, Monday through Friday shows, worked with Mike McConnell, worked with John Williams when he was on 5 days a week, Bob Sarat-Marion Murciano. And now I get the fun duty of being in the digital department.
Yeah, making videos.
Making videos and also just monitoring social media and making sure that I respond to all of our great listeners that have questions or complaints. Or
and you're on TV. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I also work on a television show called This Week in Agribusiness.
Now look at this. I'm surprised you had enough time to sit down with us. I thank you for
one
more thing for her resume.
Go ahead.
She hired me.
This is true. Yes. For a little while, I was when we had interns and associate producers, I was the coordinator before the awesome Stephanie Menendez absorbed that into her role. And she's much better at it than I am. But I loved hiring. Hiring was like my favorite thing because I hired like a handful of great people that are still very successful and rising stars here at the radio station.
Well, and I'm very grateful that we hired Rachel because she's doing awesome on this podcast. So we're talking Stranger Things, which is very exciting for a lot of reasons. The first one, and the first one is actually not specific to this show per se. I think it's the first time Rachel and I are going to disagree, and I'm very, very excited about that.
I'm very interested to hear what you guys are going to disagree on.
I am too. But first, let's start with you, Decker, kind of the opening question of the podcast. Why this show?
You know, that's a great question because I really don't like horror at all. I don't like horror movies. I don't really watch horror shows, none of those. But my boyfriend was like, oh, we should watch this Stranger Things. And I'm like, read the description on Netflix. I'm like,
No, I don't think so.
And the first episode totally hooked me in. I do love 80s movies like Stand By Me, E.T., who remembers Flight of the Navigator?
Like, I remember it.
Love
that
movie. It's a Disney movie from the 80s. It's great. So because it's set in the 80s, small town in Indiana. I'm from a small town in Illinois. Like, so many different things, like, jumped out at me. And then the suspense of it, even though I claim I don't like it, I think I am secretly a horror lover because I hated it, and then when the horror parts were over, I loved it.
Yeah. Well, you said something really interesting that sparked a curiosity for me immediately with the TV show, too, and that is E.T. There's a lot of E.T. elements to this, so I'm going to ask both of you, have you seen E.T.? What do you think of E.T.?
I've seen E.T., but it's been a really long time.
Do you remember it? I saw it as a kid then.
I was seven.
Okay, so we've all seen it as children. And this is not really a fair comparison, but the super-powered character in this show is very reminiscent of E.T. in some ways. And even the relationship at the early stages with one of the main characters and this super-powered individual is very E.T.-esque. They skip school and they go hang out together, and that actually verbatim happens in the movie. And I know that they're
and paying, riding bikes.
I know that they're paying tribute. Exactly. I know that they're paying tribute to a lot of this stuff purposefully. But there was a moment there. And then as that relationship develops, it obviously goes beyond E.T. and a human boy because it's two people. They're a boy and a girl. And they actually get a little bit romantic, not to spoil anything for anyone. So I thought that dynamic was especially interesting, that she is essentially the hero of the show is really great from a women empowerment aspect. But all those things being said, and those are probably the main things that brought me into the show, at times it was kind of boring. At times there were boring things and episodes where it dragged. And I think that they tried to really develop a lot of stuff, and they sort of Hitchcockian or Jaws added the villain in a way where we didn't really see him for a long time. And so that all got confusing to me. So I just sort of poured out a lot of my emotions. And I think one of the big reasons why I liked it, though, is the E.T. connection specifically. I don't know if either of you, Kristen, especially you, if you felt the same way at all.
Yeah, definitely. It was the nostalgic and the, I think it was also that the children, like, children actors made E.T.
Yeah.
Children actors made this series. Like, mm-hmm. Winona Ryder was in it. Yeah, she's notable. The other guy, I forget his name, Matthew Modine was in it. But they played really small parts if you compare to these children in the show. And they were such good actors to me. They just made the show, their innocence, like everything about them.
Yeah.
I just could not stop watching them.
Yeah.
And especially Eleven, the girl. She was great. She barely even had lines in her, like, just she could tell so much with one, like, little look or like one little nosebleed.
Yeah. The nosebleed was always very dangerous, actually. If the nosebleed things get bad. But let's be fair. Let's talk about some of the challenges of the show because it did.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rachel. It does try really hard to pay tribute to a lot of things. And in doing so, you kind of get.
I didn't like the show. I am not into 80s stuff.
Right.
My mom was like, oh, my best friend told me I would love it. I get home and my mom's like, oh, you're not going to like that show. because I, on record, hate the Goonies.
Oh.
I know.
No, it's okay.
I don't really like, E.T.'s okay.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say this for the first time ever. I don't super love the Goonies. I pretend to like it more than I do sometimes.
It's so boring. I don't know if I've ever gotten through it, but I thought that this show had a huge pacing issue.
Yeah.
I
agree with that.
I started watching it. I was like, oh, maybe this is okay. And then nothing really happened. And then my brother was like, oh, it gets pretty good after episode 4. So I had to spend 3 hours of my life, like, hoping it was going to get better. And I don't know. There was definitely some good stuff, but I.
Did you finish the show?
No.
Oh, got it. So where are you?
Five or six.
Did you jump at all, or did you just stay?
No, and I was going to just watch the last one today, but I didn't have any Wi-Fi earlier, so.
I suggest you do that. I don't know, Decker, if you feel the same way. You miss a lot of obviously the subtext of what's going on.
But don't you think
but the last
you
episode,
should see that earlier? Like,
well,
you should be able to see some things earlier, because, like, when a show takes so long to develop and it drags so much, and some of the kids are really good actors, and some of the kids are not so good.
I think that might be the challenge of Netflix. The Netflix puts out this content, and this is a Netflix show for anyone that wants to watch it, about kids who play a board game, sort of Jumanji style, and then the game sort of comes to life in some ways. And I know that's sort of hinted at and not really a part of the show, but I also really like that.
Yeah, and the dungeon also.
Dungeons and Dragons.
I also think this is very interesting because I watch the show with my boyfriend who's 10 years older than I am.
Got it.
And Rachel, you're probably 10 years younger than I am. He was by far way more obsessed with the show than I was. And I liked it, but he was like going crazy because it, like, those kids were his age. He was their age at that time. He played that game. It's Dungeons and Dragons.
My brother plays that.
Oh, I don't. I had no idea what that was.
I really want to play. He won't let me.
Would he be the Grandmaster or whatever it's called?
He does have all the books.
Okay, wonderful. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he was like, he played that game. He was so into it. Whereas me being 10 years removed from it, but still a child of the 80s.
Yeah.
Was definitely like, oh, yeah, I love the nostalgia of it. And then you not being a child of the 80s, I could see where you would be like, eh.
Oh, this is really boring.
I was born in 90. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good. Like, I thought some of the kids were cute. One of them, I told you, I was like, this kid's face makes me uncomfortable. One of them, like, he got adorable at the end with the fat kid.
Uh-huh.
With the no teeth?
Yep, the no teeth.
Oh, he's so
like,
cute.
He's like a little hamburger face, which ended up being cute.
That look is actually pretty typical, too, of some movies in the 80s of a group of friends that are sort of dynamic like
they're
that.
Kind of different.
Fun fact that I heard, he hit puberty during filming of that. When they went for post-production, if you ever had to go back and, like, dub in your lines, he couldn't do it because in any of his parts because his voice had changed so much.
The first show I ever did for this podcast, Hey Arnold, they recast Arnold 3 times because kids went through puberty. It was kids who did the voices.
I loved Hey Arnold.
Yeah, and then, like, over the summer, one kid would come back and be like, nope, he's not Arnold anymore. That doesn't work. We got to get a new person.
Now, why would they do that instead of just having adults do it? Like,
that's a really good question.
Yeah,
they were.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Simpsons, too.
Recess, though, was children, so there was a time period where they just wanted kids. Recess is a great show. I got to do that. But I want to focus on a little bit kind of the difference in how we took in the show and then how Netflix actually puts it out in the first place. I think, Rachel, you're completely right that it took a long time to develop, and I think Netflix sort of forgets sometimes that they're putting out this content all at once, and it's not like a super long movie that everyone binge watches.
Mm-hmm.
We don't all binge watch all of these shows, or maybe we do. Does anyone that watches a Netflix show, when you guys watch Netflix, you binge it a lot more often, especially their original content than anything else you binge watch?
Narcos, Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Kimmy Schmidt, yeah.
Sure. So
I would
all these
say
when
yeah.
they come out, yeah, okay.
But I didn't binge watch this show like I have binged other shows.
Because you weren't as into it, is actually kind of...
You know, I think it was also the time of night. Like,
okay.
So we would start watching it,
well,
like maybe
scary.
8 or 9, and then we'd do a couple of episodes, and then I'd be like, we have to go to bed. Like, I have to get up for work. And then, you know, the next night that we might watch it, maybe we'd start a little later so we could only get one episode in.
Yeah.
So we like really spread it out. I mean, it was still a couple of episodes at the same time, but mm-hmm. It was way more spread out than like a Kimmy Schmidt where I just was like, again, more,
yeah.
so funny,
wait,
so funny.
Wait, what happened? Yeah. You're all over?
Can I say that the second season of Kimmy Schmidt, I haven't finished it yet.
I haven't either.
Okay.
But the first season I was
amazing. All
obsessed.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think I finished it either.
Really?
I don't remember what happened.
I think one of the main characters in Kimmy Schmidt, we're just going to talk about a bunch of shows, the rich woman. I can't remember her character.
Like Jane Krakowski.
Jane Krakowski, thank you. Was so funny in the first season. And then the second season, I'm like, you're kind of the same and not as good.
Yeah, but Phoebe was in the second season.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that. Phoebe?
Phoebe
Buffay?
From Friends, yeah.
Really?
Oh,
what?
See, yeah, I haven't seen that.
Phoebe
when is
Lisa,
Lisa Kudrow in the
she
show?
She is Kimmy's mom.
No.
That makes so much sense.
Maybe I
it
did
makes me
it.
So happy.
It wasn't as memorable.
Yeah, I think
as
you finished
season.
It. That's amazing. But yeah, I think that's Netflix reliance on the way they distribute content, though, because the show could have been quicker, Stranger Things. It could have developed faster. I would recommend that you go home and watch the finale without seeing anything else, because
okay.
I think you're really going to like it. I think that
really?
Last episode, it moves quickly. You see the monster first and foremost, which is something you hadn't done until that episode.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. There's a danger when shows and movies play with this monster you haven't seen. Because when you finally see it, if it looks crappy, it's stupid. The whole thing is really stupid. If you see Jaws and Jaws looks like someone's using a sock puppet, you get very upset in those moments, I think. And they don't do that. They invested a lot of money in visual, you know, whatever, to
Which,
make it look amazing.
I read that the execs were actually kind of ticked off that
they
were
so
going through, that they put so much money into
wow.
this costume, and it like what they weren't showing it. They weren't showing it. And they're like, what the hell? And they're like, whoever was in charge of the monster was just like, you know, like slow
let's
your
just,
roll. Like, and he
breaks.
Basically just ignored whatever they were yelling at him until, and I think it works though. Like,
yeah.
Not
did you
seeing
think,
it.
Did you think it dragged? Did you think the show dragged?
You know, I guess I didn't really look at it that way. I thought it was just more me, like
right.
not being as into it.
No, because especially when Rachel, you gave up is probably the moment, and this podcast, this happens all the time. There's a moment in a show or part of a series, especially when we start early on in like season one and shows got way better in season six.
That's true.
That you want to give up. And the way that we do this show, binging it, this was 8 episodes, 45 minutes or more per episode. So it's about a 7-hour, 6.5-hour binge. That's kind of hard to do. And especially at the maybe 4th or 5th episode when we're not fully moving forward with what's going on with everyone. We're getting more backstory, but not more forward
I was
mobility.
Really into the backstory, though, because I was really kind of...
The backstory of 11? The backstory of...
Yeah, the backstory of 11.
11 was the coolest part.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out, like, what's going on here, since there were so many random little, like, clips of her past that they would show, and then, like, her mom. I just was, like... So maybe I didn't mind if it dragged a little of them trying to fill in some of these holes.
Some of these little gaps as we go. Yeah, and 11 is such an intriguing character for anyone that doesn't, and I spoil everything as I think I've already done in this podcast, but 11 is the superpowered little girl who we don't know at first when we're introduced to her where she came from. We find out that she's been a science experiment by the government, really, really intense, and then she winds up being the hero, like I said, of the whole show, which I thought was great.
Right,
are you looking at the monster?
I think, scary. Is this the monster?
Yep, that's the monster.
As you can see it on your podcast.
Yep. No, I will go ahead and put it up at that moment. I will put some sort of picture somehow.
Is it as big as a house?
No, it fits inside rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, then
and then they kill
that's
it.
Not the same monster.
Yeah. No, but
it's weird looking. I don't know that. The other thing is, I don't know if I'd call this show scary.
Well,
it's not.
But
like
there,
I wouldn't
there was
be
murder,
able to sleep.
There was death, and there were, you know, there
yeah,
were things.
There was
death
a lot of. Well, there were at least one suspenseful moment, if not two, per episode. I would think there were a couple of moments each episode where I was grabbing my pillow and being like, "I know something's going to happen. I know something's going to happen," and I would build up the anxiety and make it way worse than it was.
Have you guys seen Poseidon Adventure? It's a really weird thing to reference. It's not really in this
TV show
at all.
Is that the boat
that
sinks?
It's the boat.
Is that a movie about a boat?
It's a movie about a boat that sinks. It's not Titanic. There's no real.
Yeah.
There's kids in that. What I mean is, there. I think kids up the intensity element. There's children that are trying to survive this boat going down in the Poseidon Adventure. And I remember watching that as a kid, thinking like, those kids better live. I don't even care about any of the adults. The kids better make it.
Yeah.
So when any sort of intensity happens and somehow it can get back to children, I think it raises the stakes, at least for me, on a TV show, on a movie, on anything.
Yeah.
To be like, yeah. Because if the bad guy in the end is after kids, if a kid is missing, that kind of stuff to me makes it seem more serious for some reason.
That's your paternal instinct.
It's taking over. No, but so Decker, you tell me, did you love the finale? Did you think the finale was really good, or am
yeah,
I the only one?
I like the finale because I like that it left it open with
there were openings, there, Rachel, season two.
So you're there was potential for season two, even though it's not confirmed.
I know.
But
it did so well though.
I also read that the Duffer brothers, who created this whole thing, they finished it. And a week later, it was on Netflix. So right now, they're like,
we're just
trying to relax. Like,
dang.
But then there's been hints in other interviews with other actors that there's more that might be explored in season two.
Ooh, yeah, because they left purposeful openings. How long did they take to shoot it then? Do you know that?
I didn't read that.
I wonder how quickly they put this out in the first place. And maybe more, Rachel, to your point, that's why it sort of drags. Because maybe they sort of threw some stuff together with an idea at the beginning and the end.
Well, do you think that if they do season two, they'll have to do a major time jump? Especially if there's a lot of space?
I don't think they need to do a time jump.
Because all the kids
are going to be through puberty. They have two worlds.
The kids will... Oh, that's true.
They have two worlds,
which
so I think
sci-fi,
they play with that.
I never even really thought of the sci-fi angle of this movie.
Oh, I loved it.
But the upside down world is interesting, going back and just like thinking about it. But while I was watching it, like, I just am not a sci-fi person, so that's just not on my radar.
That's my stuff. Sci-fi is my jam. Some people say that it's a MacGuffin in a lot of stuff. It's just something that pushes the plot forward, but it's really not valuable at all. But every time you play with that, dynamics intellectually, I get really into that too. So I agree, the upside down world is essentially the exact same world we're living in, just another dimension, and it's desolate. There's almost no one there except the monster. And actually, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a show I reference all the time on this podcast, did an episode that wasn't dimensional travel, but actually space travel, and a character wound up on a desolate thing. So and dealt with a monster. So again, I thought it was really interesting, that dynamic too, playing into...
So what's Agent... Where can I find Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on ABC. It's three seasons. It's a Marvel show.
Okay.
It's Agent Phil Coulson from the movies, and then he's got a ragtag team of people that help him. And it was really terrible in the first season, so Rachel would forget about it and stop watching it. But in
the second season.
Just do that. Okay, cool. And then I'll tell you anything you don't know, and then get into it, because now I think it's awesome.
Does your wife is she into sci-fi too?
No, not at all.
How do you balance that?
Like, oh, it's
you
terrible.
Being
in,
because
it's
I'm
awful.
Going kind of through the same, like, my boyfriend like loves sci-fi stuff too. Like, I had never seen Star Wars. He showed me Star Wars for the first time.
Are you... That's crazy. I'm just going
to
pretend.
Whoa, that's awesome.
I'm so happy for him.
So
that
yeah,
he's done
I've
that
seen
for
the first Star Wars. He's like, oh, you got to see The Dark Knight. That's the best. Blah blah. So I haven't seen that yet.
I just
yet.
Bought that on Blu-ray for $5 at a Walmart. The Dark Knight, and I have a copy of it. I don't even know why I did that. But
is it The Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight is Batman.
Oh no, I've seen that
you
one.
You want to see The Empire Strikes Back?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the second
good
Star Wars.
I was thinking Batman now.
Yes, yeah. No, I went both places. I'll go both places.
I have been unable to find any of my friends or family that would like to watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette with me. The other
Bachelor
day
in Paradise? Maybe Bachelor
no,
in Paradise?
No, Bachelor in Paradise looks too gross. Man.
Chad is already off the show.
I heard it's very
Oh,
trashy,
he tried to kill a person.
Oh. Who, Evan?
Yeah, well,
yeah
no,
I
not
asked
Evan.
Him
he
to.
Just was like threatening Chad. Do you know anything about the Chad?
No, and I go, I like,
Decker.
Am like off and on seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Like, so I didn't watch this past one, but
okay.
I like will sometimes, I watch the Juan Pablo one. I don't know why.
I watched that one too.
I watched the season that had JoJo on it.
Okay.
She was The Bachelor.
It was Ben's season?
Yeah, I watched that one. I just like him hit or miss, and it just all depends on like what my schedule's like. Because I like, if I'm watching The Bachelor or Bachelorette, I like to do it in real time.
Yep, me
no,
too.
No time shifting, no on demand of that.
Well,
and there's this fun little group of people that I know, and they call themselves the Snark Tank. And it's just like all these random people, and they're in this like Facebook group, and they just like write snarky stuff about the show.
We have all these people on the podcast. We have to do a podcast with the Snark Tank.
The Snark Tank is pretty.
Are you a member of the Snark Tank?
I'm a member of the Snark Tank.
Can you get your Snark Tankers here?
Yeah, I mean, some of them are like on different parts of the country.
I want them all
okay,
to travel.
Bring them here.
Yeah.
Well, and tickets. Some of them are former WGN people.
Really?
Yeah. There's
That's
a former
awesome.
Like program director. She wasn't a program director when we were
here
at all, but that's former amazing. One, yeah. She's the one that lives on the East Coast.
I love finding out about the
Johnny
of the
Putman
snark tank.
Is in the snark tank.
Johnny? Oh, yeah. I'm so excited now. Yeah, I want
Maureen
all these people.
McDonald is in
sure.
the snark
Let's
tank.
Let's do this. Let's snark tank it up. Yeah, but so to get back to the topic at hand, I guess the main show that we're here to talk about, Stranger Things, which we forgot to talk
it
about for a little while there.
It's always
The Bachelor and other stuff. I guess the biggest thing I'll say about the whole show is that it seems like there's a push to now pay tribute to a lot of stuff. It seems like instead of just full remaking, Ghostbusters did this. A lot of movies are doing this now. They're sort of putting elements of things you've seen before into something Star Wars, which you haven't seen. The newest Star Wars movie is essentially a rewriting of the one you have seen in a different way, but it's all the same elements.
Is and that so, the, like, didn't they show the preview last night during the Olympics?
The preview to the new one? No, that's Rogue One. So that's the new one coming out.
Oh, okay.
The one you missed is essentially the, have you seen both the Star Wars, the new one?
Yeah.
And okay.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Rachel. So it's essentially the same movie, just different,
is,
right?
But with a girl instead of a boy.
With a girl, which is really cool. So that's the
thing. Is that Natalie Portman?
No, that's,
no, that's a different Star Wars.
That's the worst Star
See,
Wars.
See, all the Star Wars
that's Jar
are totally...
Jar
Binks. Oh, I like Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, what?
Make opinions.
Okay, no, it's fine.
I was in fourth grade.
All right,
I loved
now that makes
Jar
sense.
Jar Binks.
Okay.
Is that that fat, ugly thing?
Yeah, it's the fat,
no,
weird
that's
digital
Jabba
thing.
The Hutt.
Oh, yeah,
now,
that's Jabba the Hutt.
Jar Jar Binks
yeah.
is... Well, I don't think you've seen it. So.
Yeah. Jar Jar's, he's like a skinnier, terrible thing.
He's a Jar Jar Binks.
That makes me happy.
That was horrible.
But so I don't know what this push is. Has this always been around? Do you guys remember a lot of content where they're trying to reference other stuff or even recreate other things? Because I can see how that would pull me out if I'm not familiar with any of it.
That's,
if none of it hits me, I won't wait through a 5-minute, 10-minute, 20-minute boring sequence of events if I'm not so excited by the fact that they sort of reminded me of E.T. 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's why I think it's touchy to do that, because if someone's not into 80s movies,
they're out.
Yeah. And then they watch this thing that's just a tribute to 80s movies. And there's a lot of other content, but like I just wasn't into it.
No, and it really is recreations of shots and things from other stuff. So it's not just paying tribute. It's really trying to recreate a lot of what we remember and what we saw growing up, especially. And I was younger when I saw a lot of these things that they referenced that I remembered. So even that, like the nostalgia aspect, I read something somewhere that you're always going to remember your era most fondly because it's your era.
Right. Yeah.
So no matter
that
what,
makes sense.
No matter what we think, my era was better than anyone else's. So when you reference it on TV, I'm like, oh, this is the best. This is the best thing ever. Yeah.
But at the same time, although I was excited for Fuller House when it came out, I was
not
able
great.
To recognize that it was not good. I was like, oh, so cool, DJ and Stephanie. And I'm like,
is it the Olsen twins that are missing? Is that would that make it better?
Oh. Have you seen
for sure,
Fuller
no?
House?
No, I haven't seen Fuller House.
I watched the very first episode.
It's just like. Not good. It's so cheesy. Right?
Yeah, it's
Is it
so
they're
cheesy.
Bad actors? Are they
good
actors?
No, I think they really are being very similar to how Full House was.
Right,
I think
that
we were all so much younger that like we didn't recognize.
Yeah, we didn't know how bad it
how
was.
Bad
when
it was.
On. So now we look back and we're like, oh, that's so cute. And then we see a remaking of it and we're like,
ugh, she's about fat. Dave Coulier, so not funny.
Cut it out.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what you're saying.
And then
saying.
There's that, like, the infamous thing where they reference that Michelle's busy with her fashion career, and they all look at the camera for, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Pregnant pause? They did a hilarious pregnant
they
pause?
They did a hilarious
that sounds
way
amazing.
Too pregnant
Yeah.
Okay, well,
Olsen
I don't know.
Twins.
Yeah, Olsen twins are great. Maybe they would have made Stranger Things better for
well,
some of
Who was your
guys'
favorite kid?
Well, 11 if we're counting
Besides
any kid. Yeah.
The boys, like the main.
I mean, I always, in every movie, cartoon, I don't know what it is, but I always gravitate more towards the pudgy one.
That's
and so
who I ended up liking
love that curly haired, like with the no teeth, little pudgy one. And it's just always that way. Like in Cinderella, loved Gus, the mouse, the fat mouse.
Me too.
Loved
He's
him. Sleeping Beauty, loved the fat blue little fairy. Like that's they're just my jam. I don't know what it is. Maybe I relate to them, likable.
I can't believe you went Gus, because I can't disagree with what you just said now. When you said it's like Gus, I've got to be like, yeah, I absolutely agree. That's exactly who I liked the most. I liked the Will character that you barely see at all. I liked all the characters.
Yeah.
I thought they were really well done and really innocent kids. Dustin was one of the little children, right? He's, you know, they're all really great, well-done characters.
And what did you guys think of the high school romance?
Oh, so I've been going crazy over the internet. Has taken Stranger Things to a whole nother level.
Oh,
so
no.
There has been this great little like meme, like BuzzFeed thing of who actually the worst people of Stranger Things were. And it's like...
the girl.
It's not the girl and the guy. It's not Steve and the sister.
The sister. I can't
Nancy.
Remember. Nancy, thank
but
you.
But it's the friends that are so mean. That are they don't care about Barb. Number one.
Oh,
rest in
gosh.
Peace, Barb.
Seriously.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Good that point. Was sad.
I can't believe it took us that long to get to it.
Yeah, they provoked him to write slut on the movie, mm-hmm. Sparky. Mm-hmm. They are heartless. And I just love what the internet does with Stranger Things. Like, another thing I've seen is just all these different memes of just, like, different scenes. And they're just hilarious.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. Yeah, it's weird to add that to it. And maybe that's another reason to pull you out. Like, they didn't need to invest as much time into some of the high school dynamic, angsty stuff that was going on. And did it seem out of place at all, or did it seem like it made sense for those characters? Those two characters, to me, actually were the hardest to relate to. They weren't the little kids. They weren't the adults looking for their children. They were the siblings, they were sort of connecting romantically, too.
I feel like you have to have some of that teenage angst in there.
Well, but you haven't seen how it ends. The two characters that go on their journey do not necessarily end up together. No, they do not necessarily end up together, even though it seems like they should have.
Which, by the way, there's an internet thing going out since you guys like Parks and Rec, mm-hmm. that Steve and Nancy had a child, and it's John Paul Rubio from Parks and Rec.
Okay, now I love them.
I love how they collect stuff.
And now I'm watching.
And
everything.
They have like it all like because like their small Indiana town is close to Pawnee, and like John Paul Rubio's grandpa had money. Clearly, Steve's parents had money because mm-hmm. in the '80s they had a heated pool.
Yep.
Like
oh
there's all
God.
I
That's
loved
so
it.
Amazing.
Internet wins again.
Internet always makes stuff better. Yeah. I love to be a part of the internet community. And AV Club. I don't know if you read the AV Club, but they recap all these shows. And when I binge watch something, I still like to read individual recaps because it makes me feel like I'm at least digesting it more before mm-hmm. I get into the next thing. So I'd recommend them for anything.
Did the AV Club like this?
They wrote a synopsis of each episode. They liked it a lot.
They liked it.
A lot of critics liked it a lot. But I think that there's an aspect to that. That they digested it in full and then reflected on all of it at the end. And I think, Rachel, when you dropped out of the show was the most fair time to give up. I think you gave up at like the time when I most also wanted to
I'm
give
so
up.
I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm going to watch all of these.
No.
I promise I'm going to be a prepared co-host. And then
no.
I just...
Watch the finale.
Well,
I want
to help my friend move all day yesterday.
Yeah, you did. Watch the finale. I want a text message. I want you to tell me
okay,
if you want
also
to.
Also the soundtrack.
Like yeah.
I have to give
the
props to the soundtrack.
Is good. The soundtrack is great.
Every time there was like a song that was on, I was like, oh my gosh,
this
yes.
is the right moment for
and
this.
Another
yes.
weird random observation I had
yeah,
is
please.
That I liked that all of the kids look their correct age.
Yes.
You know when you're watching whatever, some other movie, and it's like people my age playing 15-year-olds
right.
or whatnot.
Yeah.
It was nice that they looked the real age, but maybe that's also why I was uncomfortable watching those like two kids make out. Because
yeah.
they actually looked like 14 or 15-year-olds.
Right.
Like,
and Winona Ryder actually played an age-appropriate role.
Yes, she did.
Which she, like, never does.
The girl, she was in Hannah Montana. The girl that you were upset about making out. I'm trying to
oh,
find
Nancy?
Out how old
she was
is.
In
yeah.
Hannah Montana?
Yeah, Natalie Dyer.
So actually, she probably is.
She,
old.
Well,
she's
no,
probably
I don't
my
know.
Age.
I can't because that's funny that you said that too because I actually felt that way a little bit too. Like, is this person an adult or not? Because they're acting more. It's Natalie. Now I'm just Googling stuff and the podcast is slowing down. That's okay. Second City is waiting to walk in here to do their podcast. So go ahead and, Decker, since you challenged us to us, give us any other stray observations you have that we failed to kind of talk about.
I think we pretty much covered all of it. I would say Google Stranger Things and find all the internet memes and internet
yeah.
stories because mm-hmm. you'll very much get a kick out of it, even if you didn't so much like it. Just... It's
well,
funny.
And I used to work on Milt Rosenberg's show, and I always felt like you should kind of have like a book at your side when you're listening to Milt because he referenced so many things. There was
yeah.
so much depth to what he was saying. I think the same thing would hold true for this, that if you're not familiar with all the sources that they go to, maybe you have some sort of cheat sheet of things,
yeah.
and maybe it helps you appreciate it just a tiny bit more. But yeah, really
and if you're not
show.
Into horror or sci-fi, it's still a solid show in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things, Rachel. Last words on Stranger Things?
The girl is 17.
Okay.
So she, I don't think she was on Hannah Montana unless
she
was
a
child.
She probably was a child. 2009. It's on her stuff. I don't know what she did.
Maybe she's in the movie.
Oh, she was. This is the movie.
Yeah, the Hannah Montana
There's
movie
a
is
movie?
Different than Hannah Montana.
Okay.
Yes.
What are
Anyways.
The differences? No, tell me. I want to know the differences now.
Well, the differences are that it was made
is
a couple years after
movie?
The series was done. And it was a movie. It was in the theaters. I
is
went
it
to
like,
see it.
Is it like
college.
All grown up for the Rugrats?
No, but she reveals to her family that she's Hannah Montana.
And no one knew that beforehand?
only her dad and her brother knew.
It's like a Superman thing, because doesn't she look the same?
Dude, do we have to binge Hannah Montana?
I have to binge Hannah Montana. Have you seen Hannah Montana, Decker?
I've seen the parts of the television show.
Okay. All right.
But, I mean, that's Miley Cyrus, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How big of a fan are you of Hannah Montana, 1 to 10?
I was like a 10.
But now, if we watch it now, what do you think?
You know, probably still like an 8 or 9.
We're doing it. Yeah. Hannah Montana binge. That's what's happening now.
Decker,
if you want to jump in too, you're in.
It'll be flashback to growing up with my little sister.
I will watch the rest of it.
Just watch the finale. Just watch. It's the fastest paced episode, the most interesting to me. And if you don't like it after that one, then just don't like it. But I like the show. And Decker, you kept us super current. This is the first show I think I've done that's this current. So,
yeah, because it was only out a month ago.
Right.
Less than a month ago. July 15th is when they released Stranger Things on Netflix.
Yeah. Go watch it and decide for yourself. This is You've Been Challenged with Craig Collins.
And Rachel Woodall.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week with Hannah Montana.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.